This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 6th, episode 1812. That's 1812, Glenn. It's brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have a special guest in the studio. She's back. She's a friend of ours and the founder and owner of Benefab. Hi, Kat.
Hello. Good morning.
Now, Kat has been here before, and she's also filled in for Jamie your time or two. You did really bad ads one day, didn't you?
I did. It was an experience. It was a ton of fun.
Do you have like PTSD from really bad ads?
Not quite. But the fact that you read them and you don't know what's coming before you're reading them is, I got something about some Bud Light pop-up 3D cutout, cardboard cutout. Yeah, I still have some, maybe some post-traumatic.
Yeah,
stress.
You do.
It was funny to say the least.
Well, we're glad to have you here. You know, we're going to talk a little bit later about why she's here, because it's a big day for us. But, we get to hang out occasionally here. She's from Ocala, but never here, because you're always on the road doing shows and stuff.
I know. It's true, unfortunately. But the few dinner dates we do get to have, it's fun.
It's fun. You owe us fun, by the way. I'm not done. I'm counting, but you still owe us one.
Yeah, okay. I do. You're right. Last one. We need to just make the date and I'll go.
And do it. Yeah. Jamie, you need to come in. You need to come in and go to dinner.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Jamie, join us.
That's right. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? It's jam-packed again.
Once again, coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we are off to the movies. And first, it's Diana DeRosa, our gal on the ground for the Equus Film Festival, coming up in 2 weeks. And then after the break, Evo Marlowe, who is the mad genius behind All the Wild Horses, which is a documentary about the Mongol Derby, is going to stop by. And then somewhere in the midst of all that, we are going to enjoy a little equestrian teenage social media drama and highlights from the Breeders' Cup. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to the winner of the Medal McClay, or now it's called the ASPCA McClay, and that is Madison, is it Goatsman? Do you know her?
I think it's Goatsman.
Goatsman. Yeah. She's 17 years old, riding San Remo VDL, who is a well-known horse in the hunter world. And she, just a few hours before she won the McClay, she placed second in the USEF Under 25 Grand Prix Final aboard Prestigious. So she had a pretty good time at the National Horse Show in Lexington.
I'd say.
And it's a name we're going to be seeing coming up there. Did you ever get to the Metal McClay level when you were a kid?
I didn't. I showed in it, but I never, you know what? I catch rode so many horses because they were client horses. So I never actually went to any finals. But yeah, I did horse show in it. But I watched her round and it was fabulous.
She did a really good job.
Yeah.
Two other quickies. Jessica Phoenix won the Horseware Indoor Eventing Challenge at the Royal Winter Horse Show up in Canada. Our girl Jessica, she took home $6,000 for that. But more than anything, she kept that prize with a Canadian. So that was fun for her. And then Shalane Flanagan was the first American woman to win the New York City Marathon since 1977.
So do you just want to do all daily winnies all at once? Is that what you're doing
That's
here?
What I'm because doing you're all just going to like celebrate. I'm celebrating everybody who won everything.
Okay, well, then I'm not doing one because you just took mine.
I did. Oh, you did? So you didn't tell me what your daily winnie was. I had no idea.
I never tell you.
So here, I'll do this. And Jamie's daily winnie was
that she was the first American woman to win the marathon since 77. Oh, I have so many friends that apparently are runners, and this has been posted on my newsfeed 47 times in the last 24 hours. So I just felt like I had to celebrate. But let me just, you're going to run a marathon? And you're going to run 26 miles in 2.5 hours? Are you crazy? Yes, you are obviously crazy.
I'm not sure we can do that on our horses. I'm sure it's just not our horses. Ours aren't in shape.
Let me tell you, I don't want to do it on a horse. I don't want to do it. So congratulations to her. You have to be some sort of special kind of crazy to run that far. And of course, you know, this is terrible. So when I decided, my husband and I decided we were going to adopt from Ethiopia, my brother was like, oh my God, you're going to have like the best marathon runner of all time. And I was like, dude, I'm like, that's Kenya. And guess who she beat? A Kenyan.
Who's won like the last 3 years, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was like, wrong African country.
That's funny.
You know, our friend Devin Horn, who we're going to talk about a little later, was a part of the film, or was featured in the film, All the Wild Horses. I just saw over the weekend, signed up for a 100-mile ultra marathon.
Oh my gosh.
On her own feet?
Yes. 24 hours.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
And they don't do those ultra marathons on flat roads. Those are like mountains and off roads.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. I watched they had a guest speaker at one of these like lunch and learn things that I had gone to. And this lady, that's what she did. She would do these 100-mile marathons and they would follow her with an RV, like drive slowly behind her, and she'd eat mashed potatoes as she was running. I mean, it's crazy. That stuff is crazy. You couldn't catch me. Because I'm like, how do you keep the energy? So literally, that's what they eat. Those, like, that's their main food, apparently. And they eat, like, this tiny amount while they're running. I forget it. Nope. Unless I'm running from something, I'm not running.
Girl. Amen. I always say, if you see me running, you better run too, because someone's chasing me.
You and me both.
But let me tell you, the last thing, when I am running, when I have to run, when something's chasing me, the last thing I want to do is eat mashed potatoes.
Right?
Gross. Gross.
Well, guys, we have to, it's time to really start thinking about Radiothon, because guess what? There's only like 10 or 12 days to get your entries in for the over $4,000 in prizes this year. It's one of the reasons Kat's here is Benefab has been a sponsor of Radiothon since the first one.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've been with us since the very beginning, and thank you so much for coming out. We need to get your entries. Go to holidayradiothon.com, click on Enter to Win at the top, and it'll give you all the instructions how to do it. You can either call us, you can record on your phone. I got the first entry from Kayla this morning. Thank you, Kayla, one of our terrific auditors. What she did is she just recorded what her favorite ultimate horsey Christmas gift was from the past. That's the theme this year, is your ultimate horsey Christmas gift, past, present, or future. So you may not have gotten your ultimate horsey Christmas gift yet. So you can tell us
that. But it's on your list.
But it's on your list. Or you want to just put it out there in the world.
You keep asking me to find guests. And I told you that I don't have any more famous friends. That I used up the famous friend card last year. But I was going through my phone. I'm like, okay, uh-oh, who do I know that's famous? Because I did 10 years in radio. I made some friends. I don't think I could call them, but I'm happy to hand you the number, the personal cell phone number for Darius Rucker, and you guys handle it.
Is there a reason that's you can't call him? Is there a history there? I was just curious.
No, there's no history. I haven't talked to him in forever, but I have a cell phone number in my phone.
I talked to him for one night.
Yeah.
He wishes.
Thank you. Oh, he wishes.
Which is why I am not calling him. Which is why I will not be calling him. You can, though.
That's great.
That's funny.
I'll text Denise that number on over.
She would have no problem calling him. I'm sure it's been changed about 10 times since you worked there 10 years ago. But
say what? I missed that.
It's probably been changed about 10 times since you worked there 10 years ago.
But whoever is on the other line will probably play along. Yeah.
I'm so sick of getting Darius Rucker's calls. Yeah. All right, we are going to make... So that's one of the reasons that Kat is here, is to help get this off the ground. We really need to start getting your entries in, so start thinking holidays. You can send us a voicemail where you sing a song, write a poem. We really love poems that are written about us or our sponsors. Those are always good. We always have a 10 days. I'd be disappointed if we didn't get a 10 days this year. And that's how you enter to win the prizes. You have 12 days. Was I thinking 10 days?
You have 10 days left to get
10 days left.
In.
Yeah, yes,
10 days. Yeah, 12 days.
Yeah, 12 days of Christmas. You can send us one of those. Those are always easy to do. But that's the only way you can enter to win the $4,000 of prizes is to send us a voicemail ahead of time or call us on the day, which is November the 27th. Give us a call live and tell us about your ultimate horsey Christmas gift. So now, Kat, you've been a sponsor for a long time. For those that don't know, though, tell us a little bit about Benefab.
So Benefab by Soar No More, we specialize in wearable therapy for horses and for people. And we are excitingly launching into canine products early next year. But we manufacture basically every wearable product for each part of the horse body, from leg wraps to quarter sheets to full blankets, hoods, things of that nature. But we specialize in ceramic-infused and magnetic therapy. So our customer promise is increased mobility and less pain for your horse in 3 weeks guaranteed. So really effective. We do have clinical trials and had a lot of fun with the line as it's been growing over the past 4 years. But we have our Smart line, which combines both the ceramic and magnetic therapy. That's been a fab.
This is your baby. You started this whole thing.
I did. Yeah. 4 years. 4 years ago, we launched with our first product in 2013. So it is definitely...
Was this your first company? You had been a rider before that.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I was a rider, had a debilitating accident, and kind of stumbled upon red light therapy through the recovery process. And the ceramic infused therapy mimics red light therapy. So brought it to horses and then expanded it to riders as well. We've been in it for 4 years, been a lot of fun, and we've grown so much. I mean, we started with three simple products, and now we have a line of over 50 SKUs, and it's just been a lot of fun to grow it.
Now, I want to clarify, your accident was not even horse related.
It was. Yeah, actually, but not doing anything special. I wish I could say, like, I was jumping a Grand Prix or something crazy.
You were doing crazy. A Descente class.
Yeah, right.
Driving 8 feet.
Yeah, unfortunately not. I was walking back to the barn, and the horse tripped, and we tumbled over each other, and I had a triple fracture of my C2 vertebrae and pneumothorax and... bruised
bones. Broken back, people.
Yeah. Yes, broken neck. That's right. Yep, wow. Exactly. So I was put into a halo traction device for 3.5 months and didn't regain my mobility in my right side. So that was part of, I moved to New Hampshire in the process, was transferred to a neurosurgeon at Dartmouth, and he recommended far infrared light therapy because nothing else was working. And it was the only thing that, helped my mobility, and I regained all of my mobility in my right side, and my migraines went away. So I was fascinated, and I thought...
It's amazing that a surgeon would even recommend that.
It is. I know. And see, I had been through... Well, I was at Shands after the accident occurred, because it happened here in Ocala. I wasn't living here at the time, but I was at Shands for a few weeks and on a ventilator. Then I was transferred to a neurosurgeon in Columbia who felt like he wanted me to go to a larger office out of Charlotte, because I'm from South Carolina originally. So we had gone through, you know, the whole team at Shands, the person in Columbia, then the person in Charlotte. None of them had recommended any sort of, you know, of course, alternative
therapy,
medicine. And then when I got transferred to New Hampshire, I think he knew the desperation, you know, level of desperation to try and find some way to have some normalcy. And so he recommended it, and he kind of did it in an offhand way, but I started researching it and bought my own light, and the rest was history.
And she still rides.
Yes, I am back in the saddle. Yeah, I ride every day. Every day that I'm home, unfortunately, that's like not very often around this time of year. But yes, every day that I'm home, I am riding.
Well, so. Good. And she looks great. She's,
thanks.
And, you know, probably you didn't think that a few years ago, that that was ever going to happen again.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then you started a company. What? There's an entrepreneur for you right there.
Yes, yep. Indeed. Yeah.
Well, thank you for continuing to sponsor Radiothon.
Oh, it's so much fun. And I always love listening to it. I haven't been able to make it here.
I know.
On Radiothon day, because I'm always leaving for...
It's a party.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, it's always a blast to be a part of. And yeah, I can't wait
One of these years.
Yeah.
You get over here.
And we got to get into like Christmas season, you know?
It's hot outside. It's time to start getting Christmassy.
Yeah.
So everybody, start thinking about it. Get your entries in today. HolidayRadiothon.com is where you can find all the details. Well, now there were some races over the weekend, weren't there,
yes.
Jamie?
Just a few little races over the weekend. Yeah, but here. What were our picks, Jennifer? Will you go over our picks, please?
We can do that. Which one would you like to start with?
Go through all of them. I don't care.
Okay. On the juvenile, Glenn had U.S. Navy flag. Jamie picked Bolt Doro, the up-and-coming favorite of the public.
The
and
can't
I
lose.
Good magic.
Oh, that was the can't
cannot
lose one we heard about?
Cannot lose.
Cannot lose. Okay, yeah. Glenn, let's play the... Okay, so read them again. I've got Bolt Doro.
Glenn has U.S. Navy flag, and I had good magic.
All right, let's hear the end of it.
But he's moving up. Meanwhile, Soleimani has taken the lead, and U.S. Navy flag has given way. Good magic is now moved up into second. And then it's the tabulator. Bolt Doro has been very wide on both turns. He'd have to be way the best to win from here. They're into the stretch. Good magic's in front. Good magic pulls away from Soleimani, and Bolt Doro will not get there today. Good magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile under Jose Ortiz. He won it by 5.5 lengths.
5.5 lengths.
Wow.
Poor Bolt Doro, like, literally ran on the outside rail the entire race. I don't know. The jockey just didn't quite get him to the inside. He ran 4 times as much as everybody else, so it was a tough race for him. And
he was hands down one-on-one, not going to lose this race no matter what favorite.
Wait, and this is Jen's? This was Jen's pick?
No.
Mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, the one who won.
Oh.
My pick won.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
My pick won.
Good job,
nice.
Jennifer.
Nice.
My pick won. That's the first time that's ever happened. Write it down.
I know. That is the first time you've actually ever won a pick. Ever.
Absolutely.
In this whole 7 years. I'm so proud of you, Jennifer. Yep. It's like you're growing right before our very eyes. Okay, what was next?
Next up, the distaff. Glenn, predictably, picked Champagne Room. Jamie once again went with someone who would probably have a chance of winning, Stellar Wind. And I picked one because I liked either the trainer or the sire, I don't remember which, Mopetism.
Well, I got to say that I'm going to play you as they're coming around the far turn, the final stretch, and I'm looking at the screen and Champagne Room is in the lead.
Yeah.
So let's just play the distaff here.
Ortiz is really pumping on her to go, and Mike Smith is asking a ton of run here from Abel Tasman. She's got to get going. Forever Unbridled has made a bid for the lead as they come to the top of the stretch, and Paradise Woods fights on from the inside. Abel Tasman is trying to come on, and here she is on the far outside. Not a late today. It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging, but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Over Abel Tasman, Paradise Woods was third.
And that would be a big goose egg.
Yeah.
That'd be nobody won nothing. So much for the Champagne Room. You know, the Champagne Room always costs you money.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. All right. What were the picks for the classic, Jen?
And in the classic, Glenn picked War Decree. Jamie has Gunrunner, of course, once again, going with one of the favorites. And I picked Churchill for the stupidest reason of all, because I either like the sire or the trainer.
Yeah. Okay.
We are ready for the start.
I'll play the whole race on this one.
Okay.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Arrowgate broke to his left coming out of the starting gate. Not a good beginning for him, but a great one for Gunrunner and Collected. These two will go out for the early lead together, and a crush of horses trying to get position behind them. Muktahij, Churchill, and on the outside, West Coast. And then it's Pavel right behind them. Then it's War Story. Arrowgate, who hung a left coming out of the gate, is racing about 10 lengths off the lead with a lap to go. He's alongside of Gunavera. After that, it's War Decree and Win the Space. So Gunrunner will get ahead of Collected early on here. That first quarter mile was a taxing 22.50 seconds. And with 7 furlongs to run, Florent Giroux and Gunrunner lead it by a length. Collected and Martin Garcia second on the outside. Churchill is third. And then it's West Coast running in fourth. Muktahij is fifth by two. Pavel is sixth. Arrowgate is down on the inside of War Story onto the backstretch. Mike Smith trying to find a good spot with him. He's 8 lengths off the lead after a 46.31 half mile. Then Gunavera and War Decree. And far behind is Win the Space. So they go up the backstretch in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Del Mar. And Gunrunner and Collected are 1-2. And Arrowgate is near the back of the field. Mike Smith trying to urge him. He's still about 8 lengths behind. Racing for the far turn, Gunrunner the leader. On the outside, Collected has been battling him the whole way. 3 quarters up at 110.50 seconds. West Coast is now 4 lengths off the lead and being ridden by Javier Castellano. War Story is fourth under a drive. Arrowgate's going to take the far outside route. He's coming up on the outside of Gunavera, but he's a long way behind Gunrunner and Collected as they make their way to the top of the stretch in the Breeders' Cup Classic. They're into the stretch, and it's Collected and Gunrunner. They've been battling since the gates opened. Gunrunner's got the lead. Collected, West Coast is bearing down on them on the outside. Final 16th. Gunrunner reaching for the wire. Collected's alongside. And then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic over Collected. Then came West Coast.
Yay! So pretty.
What happened to Arrowgate? Nothing. Just
he was bad coming out of the gate,
yeah,
was
but
he or did
had
he
nothing
trip?
The whole race? Oh, yeah. It just looked like he didn't have any gas in the tank at all. Mm. You know,
he finished in a dead heat for 5th place with Gunavera. Mm. I mean, he was way back.
Wow.
Yeah, this was his last race, right, Arrowgate?
Yes. Well, yes, I think so. I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
So he's going to probably go. He's going to retire. Where is he going to go? Not TaylorMade. Three Chimneys, maybe? I can't remember. And then I really thought that they were going to retire Gunrunner, but it turns out they're taking him. First of all, he's going to go to Three Chimneys, and he will eventually retire there to stud, but Gunrunners go to Three Chimneys and to have a vacation, and then they're going to gear him back up for what? The Pegasus World Cup $10 million race. So,
which sometimes goes well and sometimes not. Well, let's review here. Jennifer won one, you won one, and I won none.
You got none. But that's really not surprising in your world of horse race picking.
The ladies had the hand on that.
Yes, they did. See, it was because I chose Champagne Room. I went.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You always lose.
Get your mind out of the gutter. Mind out of the gutter. Now, but at least you did something fun with the horses. What did you guys do? I saw pictures of you driving your pony in a forest.
Yeah, this was cool. We went over to and Kat lives around here. We went over to Inglis Dam, Inglis Island Dam, which is beyond Dunellen.
Oh.
And over toward the Crystal River along the Gulf Coast. And it is an island. There's a dam there. And you actually drive across a dam with the horse trailer to get to the island.
Wow.
And we went over on Saturday because you have to, when you have a carriage, Jamie, you're going to learn this. When you have a cart or a carriage, you have to pre-plan where you're going because not all trails are made for carts and carriages.
Sure.
You know, you can ride your horse in a lot of places. You can't take your carriage. So we went over on Saturday to check it out. This is the most beautiful place. And there's tons and miles of trails, and they have flat hardpack for the carriages, as well as macadam, where you can take your horses or bikes or whatever.
Wow.
But it's all throughout this state park. And we went out for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, didn't cross our path at all. And then they also have trails that go through the woods that are sand, and it was really hard sand. We did some of that. But the they had these Jamie would die. They had these galloping lanes, and that's what you saw the pictures of, Jamie. It's just
right.
It's just turf and sand, and it goes straight forever.
Wow.
And we were probably,
anybody can go?
Anybody can go. You bring your horse. A lot of trail riders go. I imagine endurance riders use it for just doing loops because it's perfect for that. But it's
and
just,
the footing must be amazing too, right?
Wow. It's beautiful. And it's hard enough that I could take the carriage. But we probably had the longest trot with the two of us. And Scooter likes to run Nigel over. Now, Nigel's much bigger than Scooter, like 16-some hands. But he has this kind of slower trot, and Scooter's like... hackney trot, you know, trying to run him off the road. But we went for 10, 15 minutes at a trot, and it was just beautiful. And it's very Florida. Palm trees and palm fronds and just very Florida and forest. And it's just the best place. It was the best day I've had with Scooter out since I got him. It was just the most fun. And he was so good. And now, that didn't start out that way. So we get him out in the morning, and we're heading over early. We're loading him up around 7:30. And usually we bring him in the barn, and we give him some hay so that everybody's happy. Well, this time we thought it'll encourage him to get on the trailer if they know the hay's in there and they haven't eaten. Oh, no. That just pissed Scooter off that he hadn't had his breakfast yet. Nigel wouldn't get on the trailer. Scooter actually reared and carried on, and he hasn't done that in a long time to get on the trailer. Oh, he was so mad at us, and he was letting us know he was pissed. Does your pony do that too, Jamie? Have the attitude?
Totally. You can't mess with routine. No, don't mess with their system.
Well, we messed with it, and he was mad. So both ways. So getting on the trailer, we took us half an hour to get the horses on the trailer.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Jennifer uses Monty's method. She backs them off and brings, and it's a very calm process, except when Scooter was rearing. So we
that's him, his problem.
Yeah, that was just him being really pissed and letting us know and his little attitude. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a fun day today. So we get him off the trailer over there. We're the only ones there so far. And Jennifer said she's been there when there's been 50 horse trailers. We're the only ones there so far. It's a beautiful morning, just beautiful. The lake is there, the ducks, which they had never seen a duck before. So that was fun. And Scooter's just will not let us harness him. He's dancing and running around in circles. He's still pissed. And I thought, this is going to be a great day, right? And after I got him in the cart, he was perfect. He didn't make a wrong step.
Wow.
The entire time. He was just perfect.
Wow.
But I was dreading the worst. I thought, we're going to bolt and end up in the lake.
That's what's going to happen. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I admire you for keeping on.
He was perfect. Once we got him in, he just needed to get moving, you know?
Wow.
You know what they say, keep their feet moving. Well, that's what he needed. He needed his feet moving. But it
Dad needed some food. Thanks, starving to death.
He does have a starvation alarm.
He
apparently had plenty of energy.
But
Jamie, miss the rearing part?
Yeah. Yeah. One of these weekends when you're home, we'll have to take you over and you can ride in the car with us.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't bolt much anymore.
So perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
But it was beautiful. I highly recommend anybody who lives around here comes down here for the winter to head over to Inglis Dam. It's just set up for horses. It's perfect. It really is nice. Except,
are there any like motor anything over there or
just bikes?
Bikes.
Not where we are.
No.
No. No motorized vehicles.
No. Nope. Yeah. A lot of horses.
They're bicyclists.
Yeah. Sure. And they're very considerate. They all said coming up on your left or, you know, they were all very considerate about
it. Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
I really liked it. It was a lot of fun. And then Jamie, I saw that you had a escapade too. Oh, and we saw a bald eagle. That was the other thing we saw.
Ooh.
Which you don't often get to see. So we got to see a bald eagle actually hunting.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. She was doing a thing.
Yeah, I need to put out a call to our listeners and see if anybody can tell me where and what type of pet tracking GPS collar thing they have, because I need one. This little monster, there's a reason that somebody gave me this dog because, oh my God, he's so sweet. He's so wonderful. He's so kind. He sleeps in the bed. He's under the covers. He's so cute. And then he runs away. But like, doesn't run away. You'd just be out there feeding and he like kind of looks at you and he goes, yeah, she's not looking. And he just walks right out the back gate. So I need like a little pet GPS tracker. So a couple girlfriends and I were getting on yesterday to ride. and Chad had come out, and I don't let him out in the back with the horses because he wanders off, and I can't fence my, you know, my entire property. It's, you know, huge. So he wanders off, and we were just about to go to the arena. I've got my dressage saddle on. I'm going to ride with no stirrups. And then I realized that we're missing the dog. So we're like, let's go track him down. So I'm on Zeus. My friend Rhonda is on Thor, and my friend Shay is riding Duke. So we're like, going to go find the dog on horseback and head north, go all the way up the trail that way. Nothing. We head, go back to the house, and then head south. And about, oh gosh, it had to be 300 to 400 yards away, I just saw this little teeny white thing. And I was like, oh my God, I think I see him. And I just lit off at a gallop. I felt like I was running the Pony Express. Okay. It was awesome. I just took off at a dead gallop through these fields down the trail.
Scare Jack Russell away.
I galloped almost all the way up to him, but he was across a road. So I like had to slam on the brakes, you know, and like walk casually across the street. And it's him. I can't believe I saw him from that far away. I think my fox hunting has trained me to like find little things out in the nature. And I found him, and I get off and I'm like, hey, and he looks at me. He's like, hey, what are you doing here?
He just like, how's it going? Just likes adventures.
It was like, you know what, you're tiny. So I posted something on Facebook, and I thought it was a very appropriate tag. I ended up having to ride with him home. So I had to put him on my saddle, which is why there's stirrups on it, people, because I had to mount from the ground on him carrying a dog, by the way. So I just posted that someone snuck out again. But this time we deployed our fierce tracking Mustangs. The fugitive was located in no time, half a mile away from the escape tunnel. He was apprehended and made to return to his quarters in his tiny 3-acre prison cell. Like, you're a Jack Russell. 3 acres should be plenty.
You know, you're never keeping that dog in because he's going to dig under any fence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
He hasn't tried, I'm gonna knock on wood, he hasn't tried to dig yet, but that's because he can just walk under it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about our title sponsor, and then we have our first guest coming up.
So GPS trackers, send me your picks, because I'm on Amazon. There's GPS trackers that are $15, and then there's pet GPS trackers that are $100. And I don't want to spend the $100, but I know $15 probably is not gonna work.
Just
so
get an iPhone and attach it to his collar.
Yeah.
And use the
So spend $600.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sensible, Clint. Thanks for the advice.
Well, you can turn the camera on and then you'll know where he is. You can just look at, check it out from remotely. It's perfect.
I'll just put a GoPro on him, Glenn, just on his GoPro. Back.
Go watch his own adventures. Yeah. You could start like a whole YouTube channel.
That'd be funny, actually. You should do that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome.
That'd be funny.
You guys are so helpful.
We're here to help,
That'd
Jamie.
Be great.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what you're using over at Omega Alpha these days.
Oh, gosh. Everything. As much as I can get my hands on. If you're just asking me kind of what is initially to start when I get a new horse, I always put them on Biotic 8. It's the probiotics that we use. It's amazing. I really like, and somebody just messaged about having some arthritis issues for their horse. And, you know, Omega Alpha has a large line of products for horses with arthritis, and either things that need to treat arthritis now or some more preventative stuff. They have things that will improve. The Minarex is amazing. Sometimes your horse doesn't get all the minerals and vitamins that they need, especially in winter. And so go check out Minarex at Omega Alpha Equine. They have a line of every product, I like to say, from hoof to nose. You can sort something out. They've got if your horse coughs a little bit, has some allergies, you can get the lung flush, you can get airwaves, you can do anything you need. And all of it is herbal and non-testable. It's all just herbs. There's no pharmaceutical medication that's going into their system. It is just all herbal. And you can check it all out at Omega Alpha Equine. And what's great about them, too, is they will answer all of your questions. You just have to give them a call. Jeff is a rep here in the U.S., and they've got lots of people that you can talk to, email. And if you have any questions and you are just wanting to listen to the show, just type in whatever it is and check out our Monday episodes, because I feel like Dr. Chang Glenn has been on to talk about everything twice.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah, he's been on for, what, almost 7 years since we started. So, yes.
Yeah, so go type in, you know, Omega Alpha Mondays and look at what he's talked about, because he will explain everything very well. I just get in his way and slow him down. So you can hear that too.
I'm not even allowed to talk anymore.
No, you don't talk to Dr. Chang. A little at the beginning and then the end. And
yeah,
just
that's all they
hush.
Let me do, because I distract him. All right, let's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And there's something else coming up. It's that time of year when there's lots of things happening in the horse world. And we have our good friend Diana DeRosa with us. And of course, that means it's time to talk about the Equus Film Festival. Hi, Diana.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us again. Yep. Now, is this the third or fourth or 12th? I don't remember.
This is the fifth one. It's the fourth time in New York City.
Oh, that's
right. But the fifth one overall.
Yeah, the fifth one overall. And gosh, I was looking at the lineup here for the Equus Film Festival, and I'll let you explain what it is. But I was looking at the lineup, and oh my God, you have a lot of films I never heard of that sound really amazing. So if people are hearing about it for the first time, what is it and why'd you do it?
First of all, the founder is Lisa Dearson, and she had wanted to promote one movie back when she was in Chicago. And so she went to the local theater and asked them if they would showcase that movie. And it was about the autism, the ride across. You've probably heard of the book and stuff. But that ended up being something like 30 movies. And then the next year, she decided to keep going and moved to New York City. And that was in the Harlem part of New York City. And then I got involved with her then and have worked with her for the last 3 years. And it's about all horse films. Everything on this platform is horses. So it's horse films, but it also includes books and art. And I think the real reason for both Lisa and I to do this is because there are so many great stories. I mean, you made the comment right there. You looked at it. There are so many great stories that people don't know about. And so by coming to this thing, they can look at a movie that they want to see, but then they see a bunch of movies that they didn't anticipate seeing that they love. And they're so happy they had the opportunity to see. And for us, it gives a platform for these great filmmakers with wonderful films to have a place to showcase their films.
There's so many different things on here, too, this year. The story of Totalus. I mean, you know, I didn't know that they did that documentary. And then all the way to Amish 2.0, all about the Amish, to the Great Florida Cattle Drive with the crackers down here in Florida. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There's so many here that I go, well, I'd love to watch all of these.
Exactly. I know. I mean, fortunately, I do get a chance to watch some of them ahead of time because we want to know, you know, we want to be familiar with these movies. But there is a lot of them. And we, you know, in the past, we've had over 140 movies. And Lisa and I kind of decided that this year we wanted to reduce the number because there were a lot of shorts and a lot of features and stuff. And we just wanted to make sure that we chose the best of the best. And so we said, okay, we're going to do 50. Well, we ended up with 80. There were so many good ones that, you know, you just couldn't turn them away. They're getting better and better, these movies.
And, you know, a lot of these are a labor of love. We were talking about this before the show, and having been involved in a major documentary, these guys, they don't make a lot, if any, money on these. They truly are a labor of
Absolutely
love.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, and that's why what we're doing is so important, and we'll be coming out with a platform shortly. It's really, really important that these people have a chance to shine. And, you know, one of the things we do the welcome, it's a VIP welcome party. This year it's going to be on Friday night. And I had said to Lisa, let's let each of these people get up and say a sentence or two about their movie. And she loved the idea. And so now that's what we do. We're going to do it for the second year in a row. Every filmmaker, artist, and author that is in attendance has that chance to talk about their film, their work of art, or their book. And it's really wonderful listening to the heart and soul that comes out and understanding some of these stories from their point of view. It's a great time. And I think it's something for them to feel like, wow, you know, I'm on stage talking about my movie. You know, it's a
all
great
80 people get up and do that.
No, it's only the people that come. So this year we're anticipating 40 or 50 are coming. And it's not just films, it's authors too that come and artists. So it's 80 films that we're showcasing. That's shorts, commercials. I mean, they're not all long films. There's features in there. There's documentaries. It goes the gamut. But we have, I think, close to 50 that are going to be actually at the welcome party speaking about their, you know, film, their art, or their book.
That's awesome.
And it does cover a little bit of everything. I'm looking at one here that's about the Sugarbush Draft Horse. I mean, it's just a little bit of everything.
We have the Spotlight Series. Have you looked at that? We have a new thing called the Spotlight Series. And there what we do is we focus on abuses, things. I don't know if you heard of it, but there is something called the Hanging Barn in Pennsylvania. And we just found things out there where horses were mistreated. And we're kind of getting the word out about that so that people can be supporting and watching that this doesn't happen in their neighborhood.
What about, you know, I'm looking at this list and all these great movies, and our auditors are always talking about the movies that they find. And I think I heard you say something, and I want to follow up on that. It would be great if there was one website, kind of like an Amazon or someplace like that, that just had horse movies, documentaries, TV shows. I know Ride has done a little bit of that, Ride TV, but I don't know of one clearinghouse. Obviously, you can go to Amazon if you know, but to go find them is hard. So,
yeah, where can a normal person who's not here see these movies?
We'll be announcing it shortly. You know, we're just about there, but we have a platform that's going to be, you know, that we're working on that's going to be coming out, that's going to where people can go, you know, to just see horse movies.
Well, people would pay for that. There's no question. I think horse people would pay for that. Just so they. The hardest part is finding them. Like finding anything on Netflix is a freaking nightmare. Finding anything even on Amazon Prime is a nightmare. Unless you know what you're looking for and can search for it, I would have rather gone to Blockbuster and looked at the shelves. I thought that was easier than finding stuff on Netflix.
Yeah. And you had personnel to tell you where they were.
And you know what's also interesting is that we have a number of filmmakers that are coming in from abroad. When I told you there's going to be about 50, well, there's someone from Denmark, there's someone from Poland, there's someone from Germany, Ireland, England, France, South Korea, among the people, Australia, Canada, and the Netherlands that are coming to be part of our welcome party. And that, I think, is a wonderful thing about this annual event, is that so many of these filmmakers actually come and attend, and it's not just the ones that live in the United States.
Now, it's at a new location this year, right?
Yes, that's a really interesting thing, and I think both Lisa and I are so thrilled about this. We are in one location. In the past, we've loved where we've been in the past. It's a beautiful theater, and then we've been in a pop-up gallery. But the issue there was that the pop-up gallery was two blocks away from the theater. So, of course, you encourage as many people as possible to go there. But, people have to make a decision. But when you're all in one building and all you have to do is walk upstairs, then, you know, and have it all in one building, that's great. The difference, though, is that we have one theater. So in that theater, we do a lot of the features, and we do in blocks where there's like 2-hour blocks, and we do shorts in between and stuff. But most of the features are there. And then upstairs in the pop-up gallery, we have two big screens that do more of the films. There's still going to be some features and documentaries and shorts and stuff upstairs. So they can be watching downstairs where you pay for that part, or upstairs, the pop-up gallery is for free. So people can come in and watch the movies upstairs or downstairs. And then we'll have a loop, another TV that will loop things like commercials and things of that sort. And it's what I love about it. It's walking distance from Penn Station. It's on 26th, and that's a really ideal popping area of the city. So people from Connecticut, from New Jersey, from Long Island, from Maryland can all easily get to our event this year. And for us, having it in one location on ground level for the pop-up gallery makes it wonderful with the inn, that the Holiday Inn that's going to be our hotel is just three doors down. So,
oh my gosh, I want to see all these movies. I'm going crazy looking at and reading these. So awesome.
Super excited.
We've
got some.
And again, I don't think people realize how many documentaries are made each year about that are about horses.
Who knew? Yeah.
Oh, they don't.
Well, Diana
they
did.
Don't. I remember somebody said to me, to us once, you know, that don't you think that it's going to dry up at some point? There won't be any more movies. And I said, not at all. If anything, we're the ones that are sort of trying to show a few less so that we can make it easier for people, you know, wanting to see so many of the movies to see. And so that we really are very selective about what we choose. But the same people, once they've done this and they've been at the Equus Film Festival, they then want to produce a film so that they can enter again. So it really has created a huge interest in doing more movies.
Well, this is great. There is so many titles on here, and it looks like a lot of fun. So people can still go, right?
Yes, they can definitely still go. But I have to say, the tickets are really selling well. If they want to go, they can go right to the website, equusfilmfestival.net, N-E-T is the end. Some people make that mistake, but it's equusfilmfestival.net. And on the upper left is the button for tickets. Now, we have a couple events that are free, like they can come for free to the welcome party, and they can, there's a carriage course that you can visit on Sunday. And there's also a free kids morning on Saturday morning from 10 to 12, which is being sponsored by Suzanne Cox Moscow, who is the author of her new book, Little Irk. And so they can come to those for free. But even the three free ones, people need to go on to the ticket location and sign up for, because we have seating that's limited. So, you know, free or paid, you still have to sign up. And I would sign up soon because, you know, the tickets are selling out fast.
And I know we always have some listeners that go every year. So if you're up that way and you can get there, definitely check it out. It's the Equus Film Festival. We're going to have one of the producers of one of the movies on here shortly. His name is Evo, and he did the movie called All the Wild Horses, which I know has been screening at your screenings around the country. Because I've been seeing reports on it, and apparently people have been loving it. So, and of course, Devin Horn's a friend of ours and been on the show many times. So we're going to talk to him in just a minute about how he made his movie out on the Mongol steppes. But thank you, Diana. We really appreciate you stopping by, and you're going to be coming by. You're doing some other things coming up here too. I think you're going to be stopping by, you said. So we'll look forward to hearing from you soon.
Absolutely. For sure.
All right.
You have a great day.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If this wasn't so hard to get to, I'd do it in a minute.
Yeah. It's not hard to get to, though. We need to go next year. Let's go. I want to go.
I mean, Jamie, it's as easy as you flying out and meeting us for dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Matt, sure. Let's just all meet for dinner there. That's a better
in
plan.
In New York.
Yes.
New York
indeed.
Is not hard to get to, Glenn. It's not hard to get to. You get on a plane, takes you to New York. Done.
It's staying in New York that's the expensive part. That's the part.
It's getting out of Orlando. That's the hard part.
All right, let's do this. I had a request for a song today. This was one of our listeners named Jesse from California, who actually had some friends who lost their farm in the fires. Wow. And she wanted a song dedicated to her friends. So she requested Guardian Angel by Templeton Thompson, which I thought was appropriate and perfect for this.
Aww.
So for Jesse's friends who lost the farm, thank you for sending me that email. And this is for them. We're coming back. We have some social media drama yet to come. We have another guest. We're going to be talking about how you make a movie on the wilds of Mongolia. And so we have a lot more show. Can we talk to Kat some more? Lots more coming up.
Awesome. She could have passed for a cowboy, the way she carried herself, and that 50 pounds of leather, put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins, we started out walking. Up until then, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come a time, and she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get mad, sit deep in the sand. Turn to fly, and I'll say, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh.
Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. I think that's one of my favorite songs of hers, actually. So, Jennifer, tell us a little bit about Renegade.
Renegade Hoof Boots. Do-do-do. Endurance fans are probably very familiar with Renegade Hoof Boots, and we talk about them on Karen's show all the time. But if you're not an endurance dude, these are for you, too. The Renegade Hoof Boot is a highly developed horse boot for the barefoot performance horse, designed to be easy to apply and easy to remove, and yet stay secure even through the most rugged conditions and grueling tasks. The innovative pivoting heel captivator design accommodates this and supports the biomechanics of the hoof and leg structure, allowing for natural flexion of both the hoof and the pastern. All Renegade models, the Classic, the Viper, and the Pro Comp Gluon, are ideal for high-performance horse sports. As if that weren't enough, Renegade Hoof Boots are available one at a time, not in pairs, so they are economical and practical, and they can be kept around as a spare for when your shod horse rips off his shoe playing tag in the pasture. Pop on your Renegade and you won't miss a day. You can find out more at www.renegadehoofboot, hoof singular, boot singular, renegadehoofboot.com, and Renegade Horse Boots are proudly made right here in the USA.
So they talk about those on Karen's show all the time?
All the time.
Yes.
Yep.
Does Karen say
uses.
Hoof? Does Karen say it wrong too?
Yes.
Smartass. Kat, Kat's here from Benefab, and you have some new products coming out too right now.
I do, yes. They actually just launched last week. We have three new products to talk about and a new size in our most popular Smart Scrim. But we just launched antimicrobial ceramic infused pastern wraps. Awesome for fungus-prone horses and for a little added protection in addition to a bell boot. These were a huge request, a smart hawk boot we just launched. We also added an additional size for the smaller horses, such as Scooter.
Would fit a pony?
It would fit a large pony, yes. Yeah, that's about the biggest, about the smallest that it's going to go. And we just launched three new beautiful colors in our pocketed scarf. So those are limited edition just for the season, and if they sell
well. Okay, what's a pocketed scarf?
So it is a scarf with pockets.
Okay.
It's long enough to wrap around your neck like an entire time, and then you have pockets, yeah, for your hands. So you have additional therapy for your hands, and then also our people who we're all attached to our phones. It's a convenient, fabulous storage for your smartphone.
Got it.
Yeah.
And I just saw something come out about your Smart Scrim too.
Yes. So we're very excited. We wrapped up a clinical trial at North Dakota State University a while back, and the trial was just published in the Equine Veterinary Science Journal. And we were able to prove a significant reduction in back soreness in moderate to high exercise horses. So we're really excited about it. It was a 6-week clinical trial. The horses wore the Smart Scrim overnight, and the Smart Scrim has been kind of our flagship product.
Kind of looks like a sheet.
Yes.
A scrim
yes.
sheet.
Yeah. It is basically, it's a scrim sheet with, it's ceramic infused mesh, and then it has 90 magnets over the primary acupuncture points. So lines the vertebrae, the shoulder, some of the hindgut and ulcer points, but really effective. We were able to prove that reduction in back soreness in moderate to high exercise horses, and that's university horses, so that means they're being ridden 2 to 3 times a week. So it's not what you and I would think of high exercise. Regular
month,
to high exercise. Yeah, right. but anyway, we were really excited about that data, and that's the other news.
And you know, that's critical for you because there's so many naysayers out there about all of these types of products.
Yes.
So this really has to validate what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're partnered with Soar No More. And so they have a lot of clinical trials behind their products. And the Soar No More Ultra, they've been able to prove a 90% reduction in back soreness, which was, it was really important that we wanted to do our independent trial measuring back soreness and the reduction thereof. So now combining the two, you know, if you can use the topical liniment, the Soar No More, spray it on and then put on the Smart Scrim, you're basically ensuring that you're going to reduce back soreness in totality. So that was really exciting for us. We also just launched a new size, which is a 74. A lot of the quarter horses, the 78 was just a hair too large. So we introduced that size specifically for our quarter horses and smaller thoroughbreds. So
that's Mustang market size too.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Right, Jamie?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we had to have something for our ponies, the middle, because we don't have every size, but now we basically cover it. We have 68, 72, 74, 78, and 82. So it kind of covers the whole spectrum. But yeah, we're really excited about it. And then the new products as well that are, you know, they were huge request. And then early 2018, we're planning on launching a canine line. So that's really exciting because everybody who owns a horse owns dogs, or like you'd say, 12.
12 dogs, or in Jamie's case, yeah, maybe 15. I'm not sure. I've lost count.
Hey, I'm only got 4.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks.
You know, every time I hear her talk, all I think of is everybody's so much smarter than us in this world, Jamie. We're just... She's talking all sciencey and everything, and makes all these products to help people help their horses and people feel better. And here we are.
You know what, Glenn? I say this to Chad all the time. I when he sees somebody that's different or something, I said, you know, baby, the world would be a very boring place if we were all the same. So there's got to be a little bit of people to entertain and people to, you know, take care of other people.
So basically, you need the class clown is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Y'all are great.
It's important.
Can't do it without the class clown. Well, that's great. Congratulations. Where can people find them?
Thanks. Benefabproducts.com. And you can also call us. We're actually, our call center and order takers are available 24/7, 365 days a year. But benefabproducts.com or arenas.com is the place to find them.
Very good. Well, I don't have Evo yet, Jamie. Do you want to try some, do you want to do some teenage social media drama?
Let me just voice my concern about this.
Oh.
Because this is what keeps happening is, okay, Jamie's going to do her teenage social media drama. And then you're going to get a guest on the line who, I don't know, is a movie producer, right? You know, and then they get on hold. And when they're on hold, they hear me reading this. And then they think I'm a complete idiot because they have no idea what's going on while I'm reading this. And they're like, who's a dumb whiner that won't stop? This happens every week, people. So I swear to God, if you put Evo on hold while I'm doing this, I'm going to be so mad at you.
Hold on. Let me find the music and then I'll look for Evo. Okay,
keep that in mind. These are not me. These are actual things that are posted on the internet. That's why we call them teenage equestrian social media drama. You put it out there, I get to read it. OMG, you guys. OMG. I have spent the last 2 days out riding in the sun. It has been like amazing. I am so happy to not see cloudy skies. And somehow my arms have decided to do a summer's worth of tanning in those 2 days. Bring on the summer of the tan. I like want to be totally dark, but now it's like getting even worse because now I have boots and shorts tan lines. Don't even get me started on what happens when I wear tank tops. I have totally posted my photo in the comments. You could like laugh at me. Smiley face emoji, crying emoji. That is a post on the internet. Turn the music off. I can't talk and hear it at the same time. Okay, and I have another one because there's always two. There's more than two, actually. I just filter them down, you know. This was a young lady. The first one was somebody named Steph, and this one is Rachel. It's kind of horse-related, you guys, but not completely. Freaking geese, and they're... Hold on. Let me point out that this isn't one entire sentence, and it is... where periods should be, they're commas. So this entire thing is one run-on sentence, okay, with commas. Kind of horse-related, but not completely. Freaking geese and their greediness. Vicky hasn't been feeling well again. So Vicky is back on supplements and medication, which means she's getting fed again. Now she can't eat a lot of the horse feed they stock up here, and Vicky won't eat plain hay. So we got her a grain she could eat. Anyway, back to the geese. I was putting on Vicky's blanket for the night to let her other one dry. And so I went to hang the wet one up in the stable, leaving the gate open to the field. And I thought that the geese were somewhere else. Vicky was tied up. So I come back to find a terrified Vicky and 11 geese helping themselves to her feed, annoying birds. That's expensive food. And they're stealing. Thankfully, Vicky was fine. The geese were shooed away. And Vicky finished her food. Vicky has always been terrified of birds, and it's the only thing she's scared of. But seriously, birds, why couldn't they just eat the chicken food? The chicken food is $10 a bag and better for you, whereas Vicky's food is $25, and I doubt it's healthy for them. I'm super fed up of the greasy, greedy, messy, noisy birds that should have been in the freezer a while ago. Sorry, Vicky.
The sad part is we don't make these up.
That horse just had to be named Vicky, too. Yeah.
I'm sorry. What's your horse's name, Rachel? I didn't get that. Sorry.
You know, it wouldn't have worked. That whole thing wouldn't have worked if it was named something other than Vicky. No. Vicky was perfect.
Again, you can't make this stuff up, okay?
It would have worked if it was named Charles. Charles would have worked too, you know?
Yeah.
It had to have that name. Yeah. Glenn wouldn't have worked. No.
No. That's funny.
Well, I can't seem to locate Evo at this point.
Thank God.
I should have just said, oh, Evo's here. It's good to talk to Evo. So let's do this. You've seen we've been talking about ponies this morning. Horse and Hound had this list of 7 reasons ponies are better than horses. Now that Jamie's had some experience with ponies, and I know you have, Kat, because Kat's petite, and you were probably always asked to ride to ponies, weren't you? Yeah. So I thought so. Always. Anybody that's under like 5'4" and thin gets to ride the ponies. So, and of course, I have a pony. A lot of our listeners have ponies. I just saw one of our auditors. Who was that, Jamie, that just got the cute new pony? Was that Tara? Oh,
was I don't know.
Cutest
I mean,
thing ever.
Was it TJ or Tara?
Tara, I think, got the cute new pony. So let's try this. And now, Kat can attest to this because you were a jumper. So this is Horse and Hound again, so it's a bit British. Ponies are amazing in a jump-off. Horses may be able to jump bigger, but ponies are quicker. They can turn on a sixpence, jump clear from the weirdest angles, and are braver than lions, and ridden by fierce pony club demons. So would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree. Have you ever seen it's a video that's going around Facebook, and I think it's in England or something, and it's definitely overseas, but it's this little white pony, and the girl has these like little rubber boots on. It might be a little boy. I think it's a little girl, though. And she's like kicking. They are jumping in the jump off. Have you guys seen that?
Yes.
Oh my God. I mean, it leaves from 2 strides away and from underneath the fence. It clears everything. She's jumping at like 90 miles an hour, and the girl's got her little whip. She doesn't actually whip the pony, but she's like flailing it. Oh my God. It is great. But yes, it fully validates that whole line that you just read.
Are you jumping your pony? Precious Magic Gallop Jennings. Did I get that right?
You actually got it right, Glenn. I'm so proud of you.
What is it?
Precious Magic Gallop.
Precious Magic Gallop Jennings.
Wow.
That's what happens when you let a 4-year-old. Pony. Let a 4-year-old name your pony. That's what's going to happen. So, Precious Magic Gallop, PMGJ, or Magic as a caller. She is not over fences yet. We are having more challenges just trotting straight. Actually, on the trail, I rode her bareback yesterday with a bareback pad and took her around the trail. Walk, trot, no problem. It's the arena. She's kind of not really... She's just not getting it yet, you know, like her work ethic is not really there. She really appreciates standing still.
Welcome That's to the life of owning thing. A pony.
Seriously. Ponies are funny, though, because you'll be trotting in a straight line and they will dip their shoulder or dip their head, whatever. And it's like all of a sudden, like what happened to underneath you, you know?
There's
it's
nothing
so weird.
There.
Yeah, it's like nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kat, don't you think it's cute that she thinks that's going to change over time?
Yeah. Oh, bless her heart.
Absolutely. You said it, sister. Bless her heart. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, number 2 on the list, why ponies are better than horses. You just said it. It's not so far to fall.
Yeah, this much, is true.
Much shorter.
But it happens much sooner than you have
and more
with
often.
A horse.
Yeah.
It happens more often, and ponies... In my experience, not with Magic, but ponies sometimes like to kick you on the way down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's bad.
Whereas a horse is like, oh, let me get out of the way. You're falling. A pony's like, I got you right where I want you.
This is a good one for reason for owning a pony. And this is true. They can live off fresh air. They're inexpensive to feed.
Yeah.
If anything, you might have to restrict their intake. Yes. Even though I don't like to restrict Scooter's intake, Jennifer requires that I restrict Scooter's intake.
Yeah.
And I'm always getting in trouble because I try and sneak some in. And Jennifer, eagle-eyed Jennifer, always notices the extra food.
I do feel like it's almost harder to have a horse that you have to restrict rather than
feed. It is harder. Yeah. Now, this is what Glenn does. Everything that Nigel gets oats, Nigel gets a supplement that has tons of calories in it. It's a little pellet. He has to put some in Scooter's bucket. It's like, really? He's like, it's condiments. It's like salt and pepper.
It's like salt and pepper. Sprinkles. Yeah, so those sweet feet on top. Who doesn't like their salt and pepper or whatever on top? Mm. Hot sauce.
I know. Yep. Ponies are like your little air plant. You just place them. That's it. Like a little succulent. They eat nothing.
Now, I don't know if I agree with this, because it's sometimes hard to find sizes or sized things for ponies. But their fourth one is there's more cool stuff for ponies. And they say from brightly patterned rugs to glittery brow bands, there's loads of funky stuff. But also, it's hard to find the practical things like boots and, you know, boots and all of that stuff. It's hard to find that stuff for ponies.
Yeah. When you're adult.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything is catering to Bedazzled and the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why Scooter's turnout sheet has snowflakes on it.
Yeah. Oh,
perfect. It was on sale.
It was exactly right. You got that. That is one thing. You can find pony stuff on sale because it doesn't always sell out. That size, you can usually find it on sale. Yeah. They have that pony attitude. It's like Napoleon syndrome, and the ponies may be smaller, but they obviously firmly believe they are way harder and cooler than horses. Unlike Napoleon, however, they are not megalomaniac dictators, well, most of them, and really are way harder and cooler than horses. So, it's true. God, Scooter does run the place.
Mm-hmm.
Six, like the Duracell bunny, they go on forever. Well, I disagree with this one because when you go out for trail rides, tell me the Mustangs, Jamie, when you go out for a trail ride on the way out, are the Mustangs all fired up and ready to go? And then on the way back, they go slower or do they go faster when they know they're coming home?
I like to think that Thor has a homing beacon in his brain. And when he leaves the farm, he is very sluggish. And when any time you could be 4 miles away, you turn towards the direction of home, you can tell because his pace picks up immediately. Now, Zeus, on the other hand, is ready to go when he leaves and ready to go when he comes home and just ready to go when he's home and ready to go when he's not home and ready to go all the time. So they're totally different. I feel like Thor has a little bit more of Mustang in him where he's like, I need to conserve my energy. Where Zeus is like, I don't conserve anything. Let's go.
And isn't that how it normally is with trail horses, Kat?
Yeah, it is true.
Not my pony. He is ready to go in that cart when we're heading out. You get to the halfway point, you turn towards home, he turns into a slug.
Really?
It's like, okay, if you want to get home, you can carry me. I'm just going to take my good old time.
And no, funny. Magic does that too. They're like, carry me. I'm so tired.
You can't make me do this. And I'm like, look, I'm not getting out and pulling you. So there's only one of two ways we're getting home here. And Nigel, of course, will pick up, and then I'm way behind. So then I make the little bugger trot to catch up every time. And then he's really pissed about that because I'm making him work extra energy on the way home. He's the only horse I've ever seen that does that.
That's funny. Yeah. Mine doesn't really care either way.
I think he hates me. Yeah. I think that's it.
He just doesn't want to. He's like, no, I don't want to go back to that place. It's terrible. That giant green pasture.
Hate their owners in general. And then the big advantage as you get older with ponies is what?
Oh, I don't know.
You can get on from the ground and don't need the leg up or the mounting block.
Yeah.
I was thinking that, but my pony's 13 hands and I still use a mounting block.
So I teach all of my horses. I normally get them when they're very young, and I teach them to like parallel park, I guess you could say. So I climb up on a fence and they come over to me and they stand. And that is like, I do not like a horse that walks away from the mounting block, you know? So they'll always come over. So I had this lady who was out. She was a friend of mine just to see the horse, not to look at him to buy or anything. She was just watching. She's like, her husband was there. She's like, hey, no, wait, do that again. Do that again. He parallel parked. It's just a horse standing. I mean, he'll like walk up, you know, and then like come over to me like, okay, I'm ready to get on, which is really nice because the ponies, I used to ride a ton of ponies and they were, you could mount from the ground, but I could mount from the ground on the big horses. I just decided to climb on a fence or whatever, but they come over to you. But it's so funny how rare that is in this world. Everybody just thinks that, the horse is supposed to walk away or something from the mounting block.
Okay.
Nope.
Can
mine
I just
stands.
give you I'll do a little tip here, because I did get a message from a listener that was actually asking about that.
Yeah.
And you can agree or disagree, because I teach them all that too. I learned it from the Monty Roberts University. Yes. Where no matter what, if I stand on that mounting block, they like side pass over yes. to me and present you with the stirrup.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And if yeah. you want to do all of that, you can look at Monty Roberts University.com. It's on there. It's awesome.
Yeah. That is now, the first thing the horses learn with me. First
yes.
thing.
And the thing is that you don't know, kind of, you know, sometimes you get a horse and you just go to get on them before you've had the time to teach them that. So what I do initially is, you know, nobody learns from being perfect. You learn by making a mistake. And if you employ that into the horse training world, then you're going to have better success. You know, don't correct it before it happens. Let the mistake happen and then correct it. And so a correction like that. And again, this is just emailed to me, I think 2 days ago, a question on how to keep my horse from walking off when I get on. It is the easiest thing to teach in the whole entire horse world, in my opinion. First of all, your horse has to know how to back up. So if your horse doesn't know how to back up, you got to teach them that too. That's super easy too. Sit there, hold the reins. They're going to go forward, up, right, left. And when they take one step back, release. You know, I say hold the reins. I'm like, put a pound of pressure on it and let them figure out how to get the release. Everything with horses is pressure and release. We're going to put the pressure. They're going to find the release. When they find the release, you release. Ah. So nice. So then you ask for 2 steps and 3 steps and 4 steps, and you start to teach them incrementally how to back up. Okay. We got that done. I go to get on the horse. They walk off. Let them walk off 3 steps. 1, 2, 3, back them up 6. And then drop the reins after you back them up 6, because then you're starting over and they want to walk off again. They will walk off. Let them walk off. 1, 2, 3. Pick up the reins, back them up 6, drop them. And after about 3 or 4 times, they're going to go, oh, so there's like actually a consequence to me just making my own decision and walking off. So do that. And that's my tip of the day as far as trying to get a horse to stand still when mounting. Again, you have to teach them how to back up first. So you will have to get on them at some point, have some, put them in a corner or something. I don't know. Do something. But anyway, that's the way to teach them to not walk off when you are teaching them to mount. Would you agree?
Yeah, you agree? Okay.
Yeah, I do agree. And I just to add to that, I think that it's so important to teach the horses what we want to do, not necessarily while we're on them, but teach them those tools groundwork, you know, through groundwork. And then when we ask them when they're under saddle, they already know the tool. You're just putting a cue to it.
Do you know, think that you come from the professional side of the hunter-jumper world? Do you think that we're not doing enough groundwork anymore, or are you seeing more and more people do more? What's your...
So I am an amateur now after my accident, so I kind of have seen it from both angles. I think that the horsemanship is finally actually getting attention. Groundwork is getting attention, like through the USEF and through our... regulatory, I guess, staffs. They're starting to talk more about it, but it's still not nearly where it should be.
Well, you have to know how to do the groundwork, you know, and
right.
and you can say do groundwork. If you don't know what you're right. doing, then it just makes no sense. So right. my client, you guys recall the most recent purchase that I was making for a client for a horse, and she found, we went to Vegas, that horse didn't work out.
The one in Florida or whatever?
Yeah. So we buy the horse in Florida and we get it here, and it's kind of a nightmare, but she has learned so quickly because I think my client's frustration is that the horse should know these things and the horse doesn't know these things. Like, okay, I'm going to get on the horse and I'm going to ask it to back up. She's like, this horse doesn't know how to back up. How could she have ridden it for 2 years and not ever backed it up? And this was a hunter jumper world. Kat, do you see that people, like,
well,
is that
back
something
over the
people
fences,
forget?
Right?
Yeah. No, it's that, you know, there's so many layers to that question. But I think for the most part, we just don't, it's like, I don't know. I don't know how we expect the horse to do things under saddle if they don't know. That's a really layered question. But yes, I don't think in general, generally speaking, I don't think that there's any sort of emphasis whatsoever. I think it's, you know, trotting and cantering in a straight line. And
that's the problem with this horse is she will walk, trot, canter in a straight line, no problem. You drop the reins, she takes off. And she has no idea what legs mean. And this horse has been off the track and ridden for 2 years. So what I told my client, I'm like, you know what? You just got to take her like she's a racehorse. This is a racehorse. She has no idea what the bit means and no idea what your legs mean.
Right.
And so we've had to do like put her on the fence and try to get her to move off the leg and give to pressure, that whole release of pressure, looking for that. Pick up the reins. I had to teach her how to back up. So I've been riding her for a week and a half. And for the first time, she got on her this weekend. And I kind of cried a little bit because what I was doing was working. It was very exciting. But when you have a racehorse, their stirrups, you know, I mean, I galloped racehorses. My stirrups were where my knees are now, you know, and then there's no, you don't teach a horse to, on the racetrack to back up. Why would you ever back up a horse on the racetrack? You never do. And then when you do hold the bit and the bridle, it's a hole
for them to grab. So, it.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah. And they lean into it and go. And that's how this horse was being ridden. So with a newer rider, when you or just at me getting on the horse and I get on it and I just drop the reins and I ask it to walk on it, walk, trot, canter, gallop, you know, and you're like, wait a second, I just ask you to walk. And they cannot balance themselves without having the reins held. So now we've had to completely retrain this mare. Fortunately, she's pretty. so she's fixable, but it has been a big challenge. And I think that maybe a lot of it too, Kat, you know, I come more from the racehorse background, but you know, hunters, unless you're in an Eck class, you don't really have to back up your horse. Mm-hmm. An Eck flat class, they'll ask you to back up,
sure,
which always was a total train wreck when I showed it in the hunters.
Yeah.
Because my horse was like, what? Back up? What are these things you talk about? So yeah.
Yeah.
Important to teach your horse that, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, now, let me ask you, too. Did you do your first driving lesson yet?
No, my harness, I got an email from Horse Lovers that it has shipped, and I'm expecting it today. And so when I get this harness, it's going to be this big box of leather things. And I don't know what they do or where they go. So, because initially the girl who's going to teach me lessons was like, yeah, come on over, bring everything over. And I'm like, no, I think that we're even more beginner than that. So I think you need to come over here. So I'm paying her to come to me for the first couple. But I've been driving Magic with all these PVC things attached to her, and she's dragging stuff and making noises. And I've got today, we're going to drive her with a milk jug full of rocks and put a couple of those, tie those to the PVC so she gets lots of noise and everything back there. How am I doing, Jennifer? Is that working? Have you seen the videos I posted?
Yeah, she's doing great. Now, does the harness you bought have blinders on the bridle?
I don't know. I haven't got it yet.
If it does, that's going to be a whole new learning curve. And you have to decide whether or not you want to break her to drive with blinders or without. Okay. And if you decide to use the blinders, what I would strongly recommend is go back several steps to things that she learned 4 weeks ago and is awesome at. Just take her riding bridle and put the cheek pieces from a halter fuzzies on the cheek pieces and kind of rubber band them on there or something so they stay up high. So she only has teensy weensy little blinders.
Oh,
get her really good
idea
at that before you put real blinders on her, because that is the toughest thing for horses to get through. Is where
why
the hell
do they
the world
use
go?
Those?
What?
Why do they use those?
The reason those are there is so that the horse is not startled by the thing that's immediately behind him and following everywhere he goes.
Wouldn't you rather just train them to not be startled?
Well, here's the trick. When the horse gets freaked out by something, he gets startled, he gets scared, and he panics, the training tends to go out the door. Now, there are plenty of people who out there who use...
Not that I know anything about that.
Yeah, use open bridles. But that's what they're there for, is so that if things go south, that's one thing that will not freak out the horse. That being said, there are zillions of horses out there who have worn blinders their entire careers that are high-level horses or very well broken, and things can go bad, and they can still be terrified and run off. So it's, I think it's more of a personal choice, but it's hardest for a horse that's broken to pull without them, and then you put them on. So when you get your bridle, if it does have blinders, you can get rid of them. You can dink around with the bridle and get rid of them, or just drive her in her riding bridle. You don't need to use the bridle that comes with the harness.
Okay, I've been using the Dooley halter because she is really weird about the bit in her mouth.
That's right,
and
she
so
like the bit, yeah.
She
Scooter
puts
was
her tongue
weird about the bit too when we got him. Oh my gosh, the struggles we had.
She puts her tongue over it, and yep, I drive her around. And so, you know, the common theme is to tighten it, you know, raise it up. But actually, I've heard to like drop it down a hole to let the horse figure it out. And I've done both at this point, and still. So the vet is coming tomorrow. My little free pony is going to get some more veterinary work. So I just feel like there's something, and she's not super happy to turn to the right. So between the mouthiness and the not turning, I think there's some, maybe a cap coming off in her teeth. I've had her wolf teeth pulled already, so it shouldn't have wolf teeth, but there's something going on in her mouth. So we're going to rule that out with the veterinarian. So the vet's coming tomorrow to look at the horse and to see everything and get everything sorted out first.
Yeah. Just know that you don't need to use the driving bridle and you don't need to use the blinders. Your choice. And if you do, expect an adjustment period.
Okay, go. But now this is not going to be
don't
my
put the
driving.
Rocks, the first time you put the blinkers on, don't put the rocks on.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
If she's going to be somebody else's driving pony, I would strongly encourage you to teach her to drive with blinders on.
Yes.
Okay. So
even
if they're half to drive like with those on.
Yeah. Just be aware that she might be with the Jack Russell two blocks down if you do that way.
And they're going to run for cover themselves together as a team.
Yeah, they're going to be taken off together.
I think it does. I'm looking online at what I bought, and it does have.
Now,
the
what we
blinders.
Had to do, he did not get a, when you know, longtime listeners will know this story, but when we first got him and started training him, sounds behind him he did not like, especially if it sounded like a running horse. So if it sounded like a running horse or there was something in the woods, the day he bolted on me in the road and went across the road and through the yards and all that stuff, oh, the first really big bolt was because he heard horses running in the woods down to the fence line and he couldn't see them. So he just bolted. And that's his first. Some horses will stop and look, and then some horses will turn around and look, and some horses would just like him just go, you know, just bolt. Right. So what we had to do is get him, what are they called? They're half blinkers, they're half blinders. So
they have a lot of names. Yeah. Ours, Dolly Varden blinders, half blinders, no see backs. They have a lot of names.
So he can see back with these. They're cut in such a way that they can see back a good bit, but just not directly behind him. So now that he can see, or he can turn his head to see, and now he can see when he turns his head, he's been much better about it. So we're actually able to use those where I couldn't probably go back to regular blinkers. With him.
Right. Do you wear earplugs? Does he wear earplugs?
He hated the earplugs.
He tried earplugs.
That totally freaked him out.
Yeah.
Are there horses that get freaked out with earplugs and just can never wear them? Or was it a training issue?
I don't know. I had a mare who hated them. That was the only mare.
Are you allowed to use them in competition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I have one horse who does really well with them that I use, but he was like that. Like if he heard, and now I take him out on all the trails and have really desensitized him. But if he heard one like running down to a fence line, he wouldn't bolt, but it was, you felt like you were sitting on dynamite. You know, like, I don't know where we're going to go. Front, forward, up.
Usually straight up.
Sideways. I don't know. Yeah. But
it all results
really
in you
well
coming down.
Yeah, correct. Thankfully, that never happened, but...
I have gotten Scooter to the point now. Like armadillos, we were on the trot lane the other day, and there were a couple armadillos, and they make a lot of rustling noise in the woods right beside when you can trot by. And now he just takes one jump to the side, which is a little startling when you're in the cart, and if there's something coming that direction, you're probably in bad shape. But he takes one jump to the side, but then he'll keep going now. Mm-hmm. He doesn't totally lose his mind and... bolt.
Right.
So it's a little safer now than it was before. I can handle the jump to the side, but yeah.
I think I might be avoiding the invitation.
All of a sudden, she doesn't want to go.
The
my
more
wife's
we're
mind.
Talking.
That's funny. I just did want to say, I just heard from Evo, and unfortunately, he couldn't make it because he was held up in an accident.
Oh, dear.
So I don't know what that was about, okay. But we'll get him back on again. So sorry, Evo. Hope everything's okay. Well, that's it for today's show. Kat, remind everybody where they can find your products again. And thank you again for being a big sponsor of Radiothon.
Oh, I love it. We're excited. It is benefabproducts.com. That stands for beneficial fabric. So benefabproducts.com.
And we have a couple of shows coming up this week. Mary Kitzmiller is tomorrow. We've switched Mary and Emily this week. It's normally Emily would be tomorrow with jumping, and then Mary would be Thursday with horse training, but we're switching them around. If you have questions for Mary about training a horse, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and she'll get them over to Mary tomorrow. You can even come on the show and talk to her in person if you would like. And then Thursday, I will be in Wellington. I'm heading down with Emily to, and you know Emily.
Yes.
Yeah, I will be heading down with Emily. We're going to do a show together. I think we might even be doing it at WEF, at the fairgrounds. Oh. So we'll be doing that on Thursday morning. If you have questions about jumping, then send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and we'll get them over to Emily for Thursday's show. So that's kind of exciting. And Jamie will be here Wednesday and Friday, right?
Normally. That's right. I'll be here.
Good. Cool. Get your Radiothon entries in. Start thinking about those songs, those poems, or just tell us about your favorite horsey gift over the years. Go to holidayradiothon.com. I did ask one final thing. I did ask on the auditor page suggestions for guests. We're actively looking for our guest right now. And the first one, Jamie, was Amber Marshall from Heartland. Well, we are working on that.
Of course.
We're trying to get Amber on as our full-time guest. Kaylee Kuko. Kayla Mueller said Kaylee Kuko. Kayla, if you can get Kaylee, we would love to have her. She's on been on our bucket list for about 10 years now. Miranda Lambert, again, if any help getting Miranda on the show, it'd be great. Vicky Wilson. We are working on getting Vicky Wilson. She's the one from New Zealand that won Road to the Horse last year. So we're trying to get her on. Maybe her and her sisters also. They do a TV show down there. William Shatner. Well, good luck with that. Tom Selleck. Does he own horses?
His daughter, Hannah
rides.
Selleck.
Oh, Hannah rides. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Tom would be fun to get on.
I think
on.
I have her number.
We should get Tom on for the Horse Husbands, Horse Dads Hour.
Oh.
That'd be perfect. Yes. I'm sure we could just call him up.
Yeah.
I'm sure his life as a horse dad is just like everybody else's. Okay.
We get Bruce on too, Bruce Springsteen. I'm sure we could get the boss on to talk about that. Bruce does go to all his daughter's events, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's my chance.
Yeah, he was at Socrates, I think.
You often see him there.
We could get Lou Dobbs.
Yeah.
Let's get some people on.
Yeah. Bill Gates.
I'm
sure Bill would be more than happy to join us.
I love
he
that
does
Kimberly
donate a lot.
Said she wants. Kimberly wants us to get Tom Selleck, and she says, and can you get him to say my name over and over and over again?
TMI.
Tara said, y'all should interview Justin Bieber and clear up the whole purebred horse thing that went around a few years ago. Yeah, maybe not.
I don't even remember that. I don't pay attention to Justin Bieber.
Yeah, me either.
Although, if one of his songs comes on the radio, Lucas will go, I want to hear the Bieber song.
Oh, no. You have to listen to it?
I have to listen to Bieber music now. It's called Bieber songs.
No. Michaela says, Charlotte Desjardins, we have been working on Charlotte for years and just cannot seem to get that accomplished. So we're still working on trying to get Charlotte. But we would love to have Charlotte come on. So if you have anybody else that head over to our Facebook page, Horses in the Morning, and post any guests that you think. I think Zara Phillips, we need to get Zara on, Jamie.
Yes, I want Zara.
Yeah, we need to try and make that happen. And along with William Fox Pitt, I think we need some British influence this year on the first thing in the morning. But we're working on all those guests, and I know all the hosts are working on theirs as well. So it'll be fun. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Thank you, Kat.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Dad.
Take care, everybody.
Yes, thank you.
Have a great day.
Spay, neuter, geld.